Good afternoon. This is Akashvani and I'm Saira Mujtaba with the Midday News. The headlines. President Draupadi Murmu to depart from Malawi to New Delhi today on completion of a three-nation visit to Algeria, Mauritania and Malawi. Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar says, commercialization of education is adversely impacting the quality of education, which needs to be checked. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman says efforts of India and Mexico can strengthen bilateral economic cooperation through diversification, especially in high-tech electronics. Uganda reports 49 new Mpox cases, no death recorded so far. And in cricket, India resumes play after lunch on day 4 in a rain-disrupted match against New Zealand in Bengaluru. And now the news in detail. President Draupadi Murmu, who is on Malawi visit, will depart for New Delhi this afternoon after the completion of a three-nation visit to Algeria, Mauritania and Malawi. Here's a report from our correspondent covering the president's visit.
The three African nations' visit of President Draupadi Murmu had added a new chapter to the historic relation of India with Algeria, Mauritania and Malawi. The visit was the first ever visit by the president of India to the three African nations and came a year after the African Union was made a permanent member of G20 during India's presidency. During the week-long visit, President Draupadi Murmu held bilateral meetings with the leadership of all the three countries and interacted with Indian diaspora. This visit had reaffirmed India's strong commitment to further strengthen our existing friendly and cordial relation with the countries of Africa. Mayusha for Akashvani News from Lilongwe.
Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar said that commercialization of education is adversely impacting the quality of education. Mr. Dhankar was speaking at a function of a private educational institution in Rajasthan Sikar this afternoon. He said that education becoming a business is never good for the future of the nation. He said that education was never a source of income, but was a medium of sacrifice, medium for charity, and for building a healthy society. Mr. Dhankar viewed that today education has become a commodity, which is being sold for profit, and this is adversely impacting the quality of education.
We are living in times of disruptive technologies. Young minds have to grapple with them. Artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, blockchain, machine learning. There is change every day. This change is a challenge. This change has been converted into opportunities that can be done only through education. I am sure this institute, under the able visionary leadership of Padma Shri Shri P.R. Agarwal, will take steps that the next 25 years it will be handling curriculum that is futuristic.
The Vice President said that industries are the biggest beneficiaries of research and innovation, which gives power to the nation in front of the world. Mr. Dhankar said that foreign invaders destroyed the centers of knowledge in ancient India and Indian education institutions were dismantled under the British rule. He said that students want to go abroad for education, but there are many opportunities in India and institutions and industry leaders should make them aware about it. He said that this will stop brain drain and loss of foreign exchange. The Vice President also praised the national education policy, calling it a game changer. Union Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman has said that the joint efforts of India and Mexico can strengthen resilience through diversification, especially for critical components like semiconductors, printed circuit boards and other high-tech electronics. The Finance Minister stated this while participating in the India-Mexico Trade and Investment Summit on enhancing trade and investment collaboration in Mexico City. The Minister of Economic Development for Mexico City, Manuela Zabalza Aldama, also attended the meeting. In her address, the Finance Minister said that both countries have immense prospects to enhance economic cooperation. She said that India offers tremendous opportunities for growth and investment, especially in the pharma, manufacturing and automotive sectors. The Finance Minister also underlined India's emergence as a global leader in the digital economy with an adoption rate of 87% in the fintech sector with initiatives like UPI. She added that the India-Mexico partnership can provide a fertile ground for cross-border collaborations and innovation in fintech and digital payments. Defense Minister Rajnath Singh has said that by investing in cutting-edge technologies and nurturing a robust defense ecosystem, the government has ensured that the armed forces remain future-ready and resilient in an evolving global landscape. The minister made the statement while addressing the 62nd National Defense College MPhil convocation ceremony in New Delhi today. He added that presently, warfare has surpassed the traditional battlefields of land, sea and air. Mr. Singh said, the armed forces now operate in a multi-domain environment where cyberspace and information warfare are just as critical as conventional operations. He said artificial intelligence or AI has the potential to revolutionize military operations from predictive analytics to autonomous decision-making systems.
Artificial intelligence or AI has the potential to revolutionize military operations from predictive analytics to autonomous decision-making systems. You will be the leaders who will have to decide where and how to leverage this technology and whether you will deploy this technology to enhance situational awareness or to optimize resource allocation or to improve decision-making in real time.
The defense minister said, in today's interconnected world, a firm grasp of geopolitics, international relations, and the complexities of global security alliances is a must for military leaders. In the Union Territory of Jammu and Kashmir, Lieutenant Governor Manoj Sinha administered the oath of office to senior National Conference leader Mubarak Gul, who won the assembly election from Eidgah constituency in Srinagar as pro tem speaker of the Jammu and Kashmir Legislative Assembly. He was administered the oath of office during a ceremony at Raj Bhavan in Srinagar today. Chief Minister Omar Abdullah, Deputy Chief Minister Surendra Chaudhary, Cabinet Ministers including Sakina Ittu, Javed Dar, Javed Rana and Satish Sharma were also present on the occasion. Gul was appointed as pro tem speaker of Jammu and Kashmir Assembly on Friday. He will administer the oath to newly elected members of Jammu and Kashmir Assembly tomorrow. This is Akashvani giving you the news. For quick news updates round the clock, follow us on our X handle at AIR News Alerts. And for details of stories and more, log on to our website www.newsonair.gov.in and News on AIR app. Welcome back. You're listening to Midday News. The 10-day-long International Telecommunication Union, World Telecommunication Standardization Assembly, or ITU-WTSA, is underway in New Delhi. As a side event, Robotics for Good Youth Challenge was held as part of AI for Good Impact India. More from our correspondent.
ITU-WTSA hosted a Robotics for Good Youth Challenge where 51 teams from 11 states participated. A total of 120 teams had applied for the competition to present their robotic solutions. The theme of the competition was disaster management, and the winners of the junior and senior categories will go to Geneva in July next year to compete internationally during the AI for Good Global Summit 2025. The event aimed to showcase practical solutions in robotics to advance the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. The first challenge for the participants was to build a robotic system that saves the lives of earthquake victims. A simulation was run to mimic a real earthquake where robots were programmed to save lives and deliver the victims to shelters and hospitals. Sumit Saha, Akashvani News, Delhi.
Indian Institute of Wheat and Barley Research in Karnal today started the distribution of seeds of 13 new varieties of wheat approved by the central government. 22,000 farmers from all over the country had registered themselves on the portal to get the seeds of the new varieties. New varieties of wheat are disease resistant along with giving more yield. Barley variety DWRV-137 is also included in the approved varieties of wheat, which is peel-free and will also provide straw for animal feed. The director of the institute, Dr. Ratan Tiwari, said that this time the institute has set a target of producing 115 million tons of wheat. He said that last year, a record production of 113.29 million tons of wheat was achieved. In Uganda, 49 new mpox cases have been reported, bringing the total number of laboratory-confirmed infections in the country to 145. The country's Ministry of Health said that Kampala, the capital of Uganda, recorded 27 new cases of the disease, the highest in the East African country over the last week. No death has been reported so far. Hezbollah's deputy commander in the Bint Ishbil area of southern Lebanon, Nasir Abdul Aziz Rashid, was killed in an operation by Israel's Air Force. According to the Israel Defense Forces, IDF, Rashid was involved in terrorist activities against Israel civilians. Hezbollah has not commented. Meanwhile, Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei said that Hamas was alive and will remain alive despite the death of its leader Yahya Sinwar. In a statement released on social media platform, Khamenei said that loss of Sinwar is certainly painful for the resistance front against Israel, but it will not end at all with his martyrdom. Sinwar was the key figure behind the October 7 attacks on Israel. He was killed after Israel troops attacked a building in Rafah earlier this week. The United Nations Children's Fund, or UNICEF, warned that over 3 million people, including 5 lakh children under 5 years of age, are at risk of cholera in Sudan. More than 70% of hospitals in conflict-affected areas are non-operational, and frontline healthcare workers have not been paid in months, it said. Since the outbreak of the civil conflict, epidemic diseases such as cholera, malaria, measles, and dengue fever have spread, leading to hundreds of deaths. According to UNICEF, the vaccination coverage in Sudan has fell to some 50% from 85% before the outbreak of the internal conflict between the Sudanese armed forces and the rapid support forces in April last year. Sudan's health ministry had declared a cholera outbreak in the country in August due to deteriorating environmental conditions caused by the conflict and the use of unclean water that has led to the spread of cholera. The India Meteorological Department, IMD, has forecast heavy rainfall over southern parts of the country, including Tamil Nadu, Puducherry and Karnataka, during the next 2 to 3 days. The weather agency has forecast similar conditions for Andaman and Nicobar Islands tomorrow and on Monday. Gangetic West Bengal and Odisha are also likely to witness heavy rainfall on the 23rd and 24th of this month. The Meteorological Department has forecast that there will be no significant rainfall over the northwest, west, central and northeast regions. On to sports now. The Archery World Cup Final 2024 will begin in Mexico today. The competition will comprise individual men's and women's competitions in recurve and compound event. 5 Indian archers will represent the country. Asian Games gold medalist Jyoti Surekha Vennam, Olympians Deepika Kumari, Dheeraj Bomma Devara, Priyansh and Prathamesh Fuge will compete for the top spot. Today, men's compound individual events will begin at 9:30 p.m. Indian Standard Time. This is the last international archery competition of the 2024 season. In hockey, the Indian junior men's team will begin its campaign against Japan in the 12th edition of the Sultan Johor Cup in Malaysia today. P.R. Srijesh will take charge as head coach, with defender Amir Ali serving as captain and Rohit named as his deputy. India will take on Great Britain tomorrow. The Sultan of Johor Cup was founded in 2011. India and Great Britain became the first teams to win the title thrice. In cricket, India were 375-3 in the second innings on the fourth day of the opening test against New Zealand at M. Chinnaswamy Stadium in Bengaluru a short while ago. Sarfaraz Khan's maiden test century helped the host to take a lead of 19 runs. Earlier, the fourth day game was affected due to rain. On day 3, visitors posted a huge total of 402 runs in their first innings, supported by a 134-run innings of Rachin Ravindra. Earlier, Indian team was bundled out for 46 runs in their first innings. India are currently at the top of the World Test Championship standings, while New Zealand is in 6th place. In the Union Territory of Jammu and Kashmir, Lieutenant Governor Manoj Sinha has condemned the brutal killing of a vendor by terrorists in a hamlet in South Kashmir's Shopian district yesterday. The slain Ashok Chauhan was a resident of Bihar. In a press communique, the Lieutenant Governor said that the entire nation is with his family and maintained that our security forces are determined to hunt down the culprits and bring them to justice. And now, before we end the bulletin, the headlines once again. President Draupadi Murmu to depart from Malawi to New Delhi today on completion of a three-nation visit to Algeria, Mauritania and Malawi. Vice President Jagdeep Dhankar says commercialization of education is adversely impacting the quality of education, which needs to be checked. Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman says efforts of India and Mexico can strengthen bilateral economic cooperation through diversification, especially in high-tech electronics. Uganda reports 49 new Mpox cases, no death recorded so far. And in cricket, India resumes play after lunch on day 4 in a rain-disrupted match against New Zealand in Bengaluru. And with that, we end the midday news.